Well, I want you guys to help me out for a second. If you are a leader, stand up. If you're a leader, stand up. If you set an example for somebody else, stand up. If other people look to you for where they should go in life or at different times in your life, stand up. We still got a few more people sitting down. What's going on here? Jacob, are you a leader? Okay, good. All right, you guys can sit back down. I just wanted to make sure that this sermon would apply to you, so that's why we did that. We're talking about kind of in a long series on God's institutions of authority. We talked about the conscience. And we're kind of in the beginning of talking about the family. And, you know, the conscience is about yourself, leading yourself, right? Submitting yourself to God and doing what He wants you to do. But when we get outside of that one and into these three other institutions, the family, the church, and the state, we start to realize that there is an element of human leadership. And it's important, and it's also important to understand what God expects from human leadership. Now, how many of you guys are aware that the Bible teaches that a woman should submit to her husband? Has anybody ever heard that? I was afraid you might have heard something like that. So, what we want to talk about is when you submit to your husband, what is it that he's supposed to be doing? Because I'm guessing that when you were a little girl, for those of you who were a little girl, and I'm not talking about, you know, those who have switched, but I'm just talking about those who grew up as little girls and now are women. When you were a little girl and you thought about marrying Mr. Right or Prince Charming, I'm guessing you didn't think about, and oh, I'll have to obey him, right? Because he won your heart, right? He rescued, he's earned the right to be your leader. And you follow him because he is Prince Charming, right? He is Mr. Right. Now, for the next little while, we're going to talk about leadership in the context of the family. But this sermon is going to apply for all areas of leadership. In the family, we have many areas of leadership. We have the father, who is the head of the household. We have the mother, who's also a leader in the family, right? Any guys appreciate that their wives are leaders in their family? Yeah. Couldn't do it without her, right? Children also play a leadership role, right? Michael, man, I tell you what, our family would be in a world of hurt without him. He plays a leadership role in our family. And he is learning to be a leader in his own family. Annabelle, same way. All of our children, they're learning and they're growing and they're taking on leadership responsibilities. And that is what God wants us to do. So, what we want to do is look at this morning quickly, leadership in God's economy. And by economy, I don't mean the exchange of goods and services, but I mean the system as a whole. In God's system of authority, what does leadership look like? I want to start off with three things that it is not, and this is not intended to be a conclusive list by any means. We're just going to highlight some things that I want to draw to your attention this morning. Three things that leadership is not. It is not self-centered. Philippians 2:20 and 21 says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to the Philippians church, saying, I want to send some people to minister to you, but I have nobody. He says, I'm going to send Timothy, but I wanted to send other people, but he has no, everybody's in it for themselves. What am I going to get out? Ah, I don't want to go over there. That's a dead-end job. I don't want to do that. Everybody's in it for themselves. Nobody is in it to serve God. And godly leadership is not self-centered. Mr. Wright is not self-centered. Prince Charming, not self-centered. And a godly leader is not self-centered. He's also not oppressive in his leadership. Luke 11:46, and he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Leadership, according to God's word, is not you do for me. It's not oppressive. If you're being oppressed by your father, well, if you think you're being oppressed by your father, you're probably not. But, because I've been there. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, oh, Dad, why do I got to clean my room? There are good things to be doing, like playing with my toys, right? We're not talking about not being able to do the things that we want to do, but oppressive, right? Says, fathers, do not drive your children to wrath, right? Frustrating because you're loading them down with burdens. That is not godly leadership. Now, does that not mean that we do not have things to do? Yes. At different times and in different parts of the world and in different times throughout history, there are a lot of things to do, right? If you work on the farm, you work from sun up to sun down. That's not what I mean by oppressive. I don't mean having a lot of things that you have to get done. But oppressive in the type of leadership, right? Continually tearing people down, not giving them the opportunity to grow and learn and take on more things, but just being oppressive. Do it my way, or you'll be on the highway, something like that. We shouldn't be oppressive in our leadership. The other thing is careless. God's leaders are not careless. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This word provide, the idea is that you're thinking about the people who are under your care. You're thinking about, how is this going to work out? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to care for this person? What does this person need? How are we going to get it? What would happen in this situation, right? We're not being driven by fear of the unknown, but we're planning, we're thinking, we're caring for the people that God has placed under our care, and then we are working to make sure that those needs are provided for. Somebody who is a godly leader is somebody who cares for his people. They don't just go off and do things without thinking it through. So what does godly leadership look like if it's not those things? Godly leadership is freeing. It's freeing. Luke 4:16-21 says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book after reading that scripture out of Isaiah. He closed the book, he gave it back to the person that had gotten it out, and he sat down. Everybody was looking at him. All the eyes were fixed on him. And he said to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came to set people free. Jesus came to liberate. Not to make people dependent on him. He didn't say, "Come around me so you can do what I want you to do." He said, "Let me help you be free from your burdens," right? He says, "Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My burden is light. My yoke is light." And his burden is, what is it? "And my burden is easy." That's godly leadership. It's freeing. Not freeing to go out and sin. Not freeing to be burdened down by judgmental spirit of going and getting into other people's business. Right? But freeing to be able to do the things that God made you to do. Biblical leadership is freeing. Biblical leadership is God-centered. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." That is a godly leader. Follow me because I'm following Christ. If you get in my boat, I can guarantee you're going in the right direction because I'm following God. That's biblical, godly leadership. If you're saying, "Hey, if you get in my boat, I'm not quite sure where we're going to end up," that ain't godly leadership. And if you're thinking about marrying somebody, I wouldn't marry that guy. Godly leadership is God-centered. First Corinthians 11 talks about that the head of Christ is God. The head of man is Christ. The head of woman is the man. Right? And the head of the children is the woman. There's a order, a natural order that God has established. And the source of that is the Father. Jesus willingly submits to the Father. The husband willingly submits to Christ. The wife willingly submits to the husband. The children willingly submit to their parents. But all of it is pointed up to God the Father. And if your leadership is not pushing people up to God the Father, then you're not doing it right. If people are coming to you for the answers, and you're not pointing them up to the Father, or pointing them to Christ, then you're not doing it the godly way. Biblical leadership is God-centered. Third, biblical leadership is courageous. It's courageous. Let me tell you, in this day and age, if you want to be a godly leader, you had better be tough. You had better have some, whatever word you want to put in there. Tenacity. you will deal with all kinds of distractions, temptations, people tearing you down for your mistakes, failures in wisdom, and not having the right understanding. All kinds of problems you're going to come across. And if you want to lead in a godly way, you have to be courageous. There are no weak godly leaders. There's no beta males that are leading the way God wants them to. It takes heart. The Lord said to Joshua as he was getting ready to take the reins of the leadership in Israel, he said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." A lot of times we are looking for shortcuts. How quickly can I get this done? What if I go down this path? It kind of looks like it would be shorter, faster, better. That's not what God called us to. God called us to go in the straight path, to follow Him each and every way. Not reinvent the wheel, but follow and observe the things that He has told us to do. You might say, "Well, that doesn't take much courage to just follow instructions." If you're saying that, you haven't followed much instructions then. It does take courage to follow the instructions, especially God's instructions. Last one, biblical leadership is faithful. Faithful. Matthew 25:45-51. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I will tell you this, that our country is full of testimonies of unfaithful leaders. It's full of them. In our homes, in our churches, in our government. We don't need to look around too far to find out what it looks like to be an unfaithful leader. But a godly leader, a leader who's leading according to God's word, is faithful. He does what God wants him to do, even when no one's looking. Even when there's not an immediate reward on his behalf. He is faithful. So what is biblical headship? When we talk about the wives submitting to the husbands, which we're not talking about today, we're going to get to that. I'm going to give you a preview. But we talk about biblical headship, we're not just talking about wives. We're talking about husbands. We're talking about wives. We're talking about government leaders. We're talking about church leaders. We're talking about children. We're talking about every single person in this world. because we all have heads of authority over us. And so what is biblical headship? When we talk about submission in the Bible, what is it that we're talking about? It is this. Two things. One, authority that comes from God. Biblical headship has the source of its authority from the Father God. Right? Acts chapter 5 says, we ought to do what God says rather than what man says. When there is a disagreement between God and man, we follow God. Why? Because He is the ultimate source of authority. John chapter 5, 16 through 23, it says, for this reason, Jesus was healing at the pool of Bethesda, stir the water, the angel would stir the water, and the first one in would be healed. And there was the man who couldn't get in because he couldn't move. And Jesus walked by and said, would you like to be healed? And he said, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. And so he healed him. It says, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, and making himself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever that he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I want you to pay attention to something really, really closely on this. It says that Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Father, the Son also does in like manner. This is an example of biblical headship. The Father is doing the right thing. The Father is just. The Father is all-loving, right? And whatever he is doing, the Son is doing likewise. Right? Randy, when you were a kid, I'm sure Josh was wanting to be a farmer. Just like, he was right there with you, right? It's the same thing. Biblical leadership is mimicking righteousness. It's mimicking what the Father is doing. And we mimic what the Son is doing. We study the Word, God's Word, and say, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing in this situation? And whatever I see God telling me to do, that's what I'm going to do. That's biblical authority. That's biblical headship. And we're showing the next person, hey, when you get into this situation, let me show you how to do this. We're showing them how to do it. We're explaining to them why we're doing it. Why? Because we're not doing it out of compulsion, right? We're not saying, hey, you have to do this because I told you to do this. Now, when they're young, sometimes that is appropriate. But most of the time, it's, hey, this is the right thing to do, and I want you to learn to do the right thing so when you get out on your own, you will know what to do. That's biblical leadership. Biblical headship is we're showing the Son what to do, because we saw Jesus and the Father doing it. The next one is the display of biblical headship is sacrificial service. Mark 10:42 through 45, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now that does not mean there isn't authority, because Jesus has all authority. But what it means is when we display our authority, it shouldn't look like, whoa, He's in it for himself. The display of our authority should be, wow, he loves his people. He loves his family. You can tell this guy, he loves the people that he serves. The example of our authority should be seen by sacrificial service. And that is what Jesus Christ did. He ultimately came and gave his entire life on the cross. That is biblical authority. That is biblical headship. So when we say, wives, submit to your husbands, that's what we're talking about. Wives, submit to that man who is laying down his life to lead his family in the way that he sees God doing. Inasmuch as that man is laying down his life, you need to support him. You need to encourage him. You need to help him. Inasmuch as you see government leaders working to bring our nation back under submission to God, we as Christians have a responsibility to encourage them, to help them, to pray for them, to promote them. And the same in our churches. When we see leaders that are serving the people, we want to thank them. We want to be grateful. We want to pray for them. We want to help them. We want to submit to them. That is the picture that God has created for us of biblical headship. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this look at authority, leadership. Lord, the reality is each one of us who sit here is a leader in our own right. People are looking to us as an example. And Lord, I pray that when they look at us, they would not see people who are in it for their own interests. They would not see people who are just out for themselves. But Lord, they would see people who reflect your goodness, people who reflect your faithfulness, people who reflect your love. Lord, that when they see us, they see you. And when they see you, they see the Father. Lord, I pray that that would be the model that we show. Lord, that it would not be in it to win it, when win it is just us patting our backs and thinking, oh, I'm so great. But Lord, that we would take our eyes off of ourselves, that we would look out around us and say, wow, here is a hurting people that God has placed me in, and I can do something to bring them under God's authority and into the joy of the Lord. But Lord, first I got to start at home. I can't help others until I first submit myself to your authority. I first have to get my own conscience right. I first must receive your forgiveness and get my life straightened out, so that then I can be an example that people would want to follow. So Lord, I pray that as we lead others, we would first lead ourselves in the right way. And ultimately, Lord, that is dying to ourselves and living for you. Lord, I pray that we would be people who die regularly to themselves. Lord, that we receive the work that you've done on the cross. We take up our own cross and we live for you. The sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, that we would make for others, and that we would point them to the Father. In Jesus' name we pray.